Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Senator. It's been so long since you've been here.
That helps grow demand.
Well, good, because we're going to start charging you freeloaders.
That's not a way to grow listeners.
Oh, that's not a way to win people. I take that back.
I just want to say for the record that no listener will have to pay if they don't want to.
Unlike people who use water or garbage in Chicago, okay?
Well, today we're talking about the recent primary elections, which you wrote about in the Reader on March 23rd, 2016, in an article titled Strange Bedfellows. Mm-hmm. Online, it's called Progressives Join Forces with the Machine to Realign Chicago's Democratic Party. Because, you know, people have larger attention spans on the web.
Right, yeah. Okay. Don't ask me why, okay?
It's not your job.
It's not my job. What do they say? It's above my pay grade.
Right. In that article, you wrote about what you consider the unlikely and the unprecedented alliances among Democrats to elect candidates in the March primary election. But before we go there, let's go to a civics lesson about the election.
Okay, yeah.
Just to recap what happened at this March 15th primary, which had early voting, which started in February, right?
Okay.
There were several levels of public office people had to vote for.
Right.
On the federal level, there was president and U.S. senator and U.S. congressman.
Correct.
On the state level, there was state senator and state representative. In the county level, there was state's attorney.
This is a civics lesson. Yes, correct.
And pretty soon high schoolers are going to have to know this, though.
I believe they already have to know this.
There was a recent law change.
I know. Now, has that law taken effect already? Are they allowing people time to...
to write the text.
Yes. I would love to teach the class, but that's another story.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So at the county level is the state's attorney, clerk of the circuit court, the recorder of deeds, board of review, many, many judges, and then sort of the quasi-county agency called the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, the sewer people. So I'm guessing, Ben, that you experience as much confusion on the part of our fellow citizens as I do around this election, that they don't realize that this is a precursor to an election that is another election that is going to take place in November called the general election.
Yeah, this falls under the category of the confused electorate. This is always a funny category. Yes, this is just the first round, if you will, where we select the candidates for each party, including like the Green Party.
Actually, we're helping the parties select their candidates for the general election.
I guess that's the correct way of putting it. I remember at one point reading a column by the great Mark Brown of the Chicago Sun-Times, where he went down to the Southwest Side and interviewed befuddled voters who apparently were voting for the first time in their life, even though I guess they were 30 or 40 years old.
God bless them.
And they were Trump voters, so they had come out to vote for Donald Trump, who, as we know, is running for president on the Republican side. So as such, they took a Republican ballot, and they were stunned to learn that taking the Republican ballot to vote for Donald Trump meant they couldn't participate in the Democratic. I guess they thought it was like a la carte ordering or something you get to take from. So anyway, So it's always many new and wonderful things for voters to learn when they participate in this process.
And the reason that this happens in Chicago this way is because all these people who are elected this past March are going on to run against each other. So the Republicans are going to run against the Democrats.
Yeah.
So we're helping the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party to choose their candidates that are going to run in November.
Yeah, we are choosing those candidates.
But there are very few Republican candidates in Chicago because Chicago is a Democratic town.
Right. So what lesson should I take away for that? Don't support Donald Trump would be the primary lesson I would take away.
But what's your explanation, you know, when you encounter these people? Do you have like an elevator pitch that you, or they say, this wasn't the real, you know, what was?
You know what? There's so much that I don't know about how the world works Okay, you know,
you know this?
But the one thing I do know is elections. So I try not to make fun of people for their staggering ignorance, because they would make fun of me. For instance, I know so little about like rap music or how the internet works.
You come from a position of humility.
Yes, I'm a humbled man, and I've been humbled many times. But I do find it interesting that such a fundamental aspect of our life, which is the democracy, which governs pretty much everything, you know, our government governs our lives, and people are so ignorant about it. And yet they have opinions, and their vote counts as much as yours or mine. You know, we study this stuff, we're like really informed. And this lady on the Southwest side was outraged because she couldn't vote for Donald Trump and a Democrat at the same time. Her vote counts as much as yours or mine. And then furthermore, she went on, I believe, to blame Mike Madigan for this situation. Like, I hate to tell you this, like the primary system existed long before Mike Madigan was on the earth. Blame it on Abe Lincoln if you have to blame it on someone. So what can I tell you, Dave?
But again, do you have things that you say to people who come to you, the confused citizenry who comes to you around this election time? I'm sure they do, right?
Yeah, people come to me all the time with questions. The things they think I know is just astounding.
But so you do know about how this primary system works. So what do you say to them?
We went through this last election where many Chicagoans, including people who are supposedly experts writing for the paper, were unaware that we had this runoff system for electing a mayor, even though that system has existed since the 90s. A whole other thing. It's like, whoa, man, we have two different ways of electing people. Oh, I remember you and I would have this conversation like, well, Chewy is going to siphon votes away from Fioretti and it would help Rahm. And then I would say, no, in a runoff system, as long as you don't vote for Mayor Rahm, you're effectively voting against him because you're voting for a runoff. And it took a long time for the average Chicagoan to realize what that meant. Probably it took like up to the election when we had a runoff. Like, whoa. And then I would ask voters, so who are you going to vote for, Chewy or Rahm in the runoff? And then voters would say to me things like, didn't we already have an election?
So do you think that this example of, you know, we have this primary system that works a certain way, leading to a general election that works another certain way, similar, but another certain way. And then before that, we had this municipal election that works yet a third way. Is it expecting too much? Is it perhaps deliberately Byzantine and esoteric to make it harder to participate in democracy by voting? Or is it just, you know, step up, people, and figure it out?
I'm sorry. It's step up, people. I mean, first of all, it's not that complicated. This is like a favorite subject of mine, or a total tangent here, but the complicated things that people really spend their time understanding.
Concerning, say, football.
Yeah, like the Byzantine rules that govern the game of football. What constitutes a legal pass, a completed pass?
And they can wrap their heads around that.
And they can wrap their heads
joyfully
around it. Yeah, but they can't figure out a primary system. The other one that I always loved about my favorite topic, TIFFs. People are always, oh, I remember talk shows when they were finally getting around to discussing TIFFs. The way they would begin generally is, I know this is going to be so complicated. Your eyes are going to glaze. This is really boring, but I'm going to try to explain it to you anyway. But if they were talking about mob figures, it would never occur to them to say, we are now going to enter a very confusing world with these strange nicknames that we assume you all will know. So like No Nose, Broken Nose, you know, Greasy Thumb.
The Shark.
Everybody, and it's like, oh yeah, I know that stuff. So it's sort of like people pick and choose.
What esoteria.
Yeah. So for whatever reason, people have decided that electoral politics is not interesting.
And beyond them.
Well, it's only beyond them because they're not interested in it. I mean, if I was interested in the mob, I would know all these names. You know, if I was really interested in football, I could give you chapter and verse on the evolution of what is a completed pass. So it's really a matter of interest. People are smart enough to understand politics. Everybody's pretty much the same when it comes to intelligence. It's just they choose not to care, but they'll care about their property taxes.
Speaking of which, given that this election that we just went through, it really is for the political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, largely to choose their candidates for November.
It is to choose their candidates.
We are using our tax money to pay for those elections. In other words, as far as I know, those parties don't pay to have this essentially service.
So your point?
The government is providing a service to the political parties.
That is correct.
At our expense.
Yes. We, the people, have decided that this is the best way to select our candidates to have a primary system.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I've never thought about it. So you just asked me this question right now. I've just taken it for granted.
As opposed to, say, at the end of the election, the Democratic Party gets a bill. You know, this is what it costs to run elections.
I would like to give the Republican Party the bill.
Oh, to both of them.
No, no, I would give the Republican Party the full bill. I mean, if you're asking me my choice.
How do you justify that?
Well, because they're such shitheads and they are like destroying civilization as we know it. That should be their payment for like global warming, okay? That should be their payment for the idiocy of their primary.
Well, that might fly in Chicago.
Even Republicans admit that they're embarrassed by what's going on in their party, you know? So shouldn't they have to pay a price for it? How about the voters who voted Bruce Rauner? He's bankrupting Chicago public schools. Shouldn't the voters in like DuPage County, whose system, by the way, he continues to support with state dollars, he made a very conscious point to fund suburban schools while he's starving Chicago schools. So shouldn't voters in DuPage County be held accountable for the decimation of public education in Chicago that their candidate?
Well, I see where your peak is coming from.
Yeah.
Let's bring it a little closer to home. In Chicago, there is a governmental entity called the Chicago Board of Elections,
yeah,
to whom we paid tax dollars. They have a staff. They deployed all the voting machines.
They have a website.
They have a website. They paid all the election judges.
Correct.
So we paid for all that,
right,
in Chicago, which, okay, is largely in the primary working for the Democratic Party to elect, yeah, Democratic Party candidates. So shouldn't the Democratic Party get the bill?
If the people of Chicago wanted to participate in the Republican primary, they had that option, and the Chicago Board of Election Commissions governed their primary as well. So the Trump voter, the lady on the southwest side who was so upset at Mike Madigan, you know, I can see why she'd be confused, because we don't have a primary system for the aforementioned mayoral election. Everybody's in the same boat. There's no party affiliation. So why would we have one system for electing a mayor and a different system for electing a state rep? I can understand the confusion of a voter who just drops in every 4 years. And
we have sort of a primary system. We have what I call delayed runoff voting, as opposed to instant runoff voting. And I don't want to go too far into the weeds on,
yeah,
this, but in the municipal election, yeah, if no candidate gets 50% of the vote, right, they go to a runoff.
Yeah.
It is delayed.
Yeah, but it's not a party primary.
I'm saying people call it a primary.
Yeah. Yeah. But in one system of electing representatives, we have party affiliations, and then there's a runoff between the winners of the party affiliation elections. And in the other one, we don't have party affiliations. So again, if you're a voter just dropping in every 4 years or maybe every 20 years, you might be confused.
It's understandable. Exactly.
So I urge all voters to listen to our podcast and read my columns and read your writings as well, and then you won't be so confused anymore.
This is the civics class that the law is calling for, perhaps. High, yeah, school seniors will be, yeah, our new...
Be forced to read the reader and listen to our podcast.
Well, who do I make the campaign contribution to make that happen? Yeah. Let's turn now, Ben, to a particular primary election contest faced by voters on the South Side, mm-hmm, namely that of the Democratic candidates for the 2nd Illinois State Representative District.
Okay.
Of which...
Oh, a map.
I have a map here.
I love your maps.
Well, take a look. This district, it's roughly triangular. The north part is 16th Street. The south part is 51st Street. It's a sort of a right triangle. The right angle is up in the northwest corner at Western and 16th. And the hypotenuse,
oh my God,
goes from 51st and roughly Western to 31st and Clark.
Yes.
The east part of this district encompasses Chinatown.
Right.
Part of the rest of it is a large block of Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm.
The incumbent of this district, State Representative Eddie Acevedo Sr., has been in office for almost 20 years. But Acevedo did not run in the March primary for the Democratic, right, candidacy. However, his son Alex did. Alex was defeated, however, in the primary by a newcomer, Teresa Ma. That brings us to a message left on the voicemail of 25th Ward Alderman Danny Solis.
Yeah.
And Solis's ward overlaps the 2nd Rep District. And you wrote about this.
At least twice. It's one of my favorite election stories. This should definitely be taught in a civics class. They should play the tape in a civics class. Of course, it'll never be taught in a civics class.
Well, we're going to play that tape.
Okay, go ahead.
You wrote about it in a blog post on March 18th, 2016, titled... On the list of obscenity-laced rants by Chicago personalities, this voicemail message to Alderman Danny Solis ranks high.
Yeah.
We're going to play this, and we have two versions of this because it is very profanity-laden, and our interviews are played on broadcast radio.
Oh.
This podcast will have the uncensored version, Listeners, if you want to get the censored version to play for someone more sensitive, you can go to the description of this podcast at shygov.com, and there'll be a link to it there. The message was left by Eddie Acevedo Jr., the brother of Alex and son of the state rep, as reported by Sun-Times columnist Mark Brown.
Getting a lot of name recognition in the show. So, you know, big shout-out to Mark Brown. This is the second Mark Brown reference in one podcast.
So he should have a podcast.
That is correct.
We should interview him on our podcast.
We could ask him what he thinks about the primary system, since he's so sensitive to the concerns of Southwestsiders who want to get to vote for everybody. You know, surprisingly, the lady didn't want to vote for someone in New Jersey. You know what I mean? Why didn't I get to vote for Cuomo?
So anyway, Acevedo Jr. was apparently upset with Solis because, according to Brown's column, Solis did not campaign as heavily in the part of the district, namely Chinatown, that the Acevedos thought he could have, and therefore perhaps was causative in the loss of Acevedo. So Acevedo Jr. was a little upset, and here's what he had to say on the voicemail.
Hey, Danny Solis, this is Eddie Jr. Let me tell you something, motherfucker. I'm not my father. I'm not my brothers. You've been fucking our family over for years. You know what? Fuck you, motherfucker. You fucked at this election, and you're going to deal with me, motherfucker. So you know what? You could call my dad, whoever the fuck you want to call, because I'm not my brothers, and I'm not my fucking father, motherfucker. So you're going to have to deal with me, you bitch-ass motherfucker. We lost the election because you're bitch-ass motherfucking bitch-ass. So remember that, motherfucker. You know what? You have no fucking idea. So when I see you, it's motherfucking on, okay? So I don't care. You take this message as it is, bro. Because you fucked our family, bro. Remember that, motherfucker. Eddie Jr., bitch.
Well, it's certainly explicit.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering here is, why is Eddie Jr. so deeply hurt by someone other than his brother winning elected office? What do you think he has at stake? What does his family have at stake that would cause this passion?
There's a swagger that a lot of Chicago politicians have, a lot of politicians in general, but it's particularly a Chicago one, that their mastery of the electoral process somehow vindicates their just larger personhood, and they're somehow superior to the people that they beat. This is really prevalent in machine politicians that I've encountered down through the years. Like, you know, Richard Mell was like this. Dan Rusinkowski was like this. I call it a swagger and arrogance. Like, let me tell you how the game is run, son. You don't know anything. I know how the game is run. You know, you get that a lot with just people when they'll read an article I'll write. Like, when the machine sends in its people to write responses, they go, let me tell you how the game is played. You know, so there's a lot of that. The Acevedos come right out of his culture. They're from HDO, Hispanic Democratic Organization, which of course was a patronage outfit for Mayor Daley, the second Mayor Daley, Baby Daley, the one who just left. If they lost, it's not because of anything they did wrong. It's because somebody betrayed them. They're looking for a scapegoat, of all the scapegoats in the world to pick. I mean, Danny Solis, alderman, say what you will about Danny Solis, he's not the reason they lost that election.
Yeah, I'm not as interested in, you know, who they're blaming, but the response of losing.
It's interesting because Richard Mell, who also lost on election night and is another patronage giant, he's far more significant than the Acevedos.
He had the opposite reaction.
Yeah, he had the exact...
At least in the press.
In the press. And
it might have been some broken vases in the house.
Yeah, Lord knows what he felt in private, but publicly he stated, I'm glad it's over. I was sick of the office. It wasn't worth
it. He had his rod voodoo doll that he was like putting pins in.
Yeah, he's still blaming. Speaking of blaming people, he's probably, it's tough losing an election. And to a certain degree, you know, I try not to call politicians right after they've lost an election. Let them a few days go by. But it hurts. It stings. I've been with politicians on the night they've lost elections, actually. I'm going to go into their election night parties, which are more like wakes. You know, there's just a mix of reactions, but there's a little bit of hurt in them all. Remember when Rahm came before the voters, when he technically won the first round, speaking of election rounds, 2015, but he had been forced into a runoff against Chuy Garcia. I don't know if you recall this, but he came on the stage with this smile plastered on his face that was covering, just imagine what he was saying when he was off camera. And like, he was happy that he was getting an opportunity to run again before the voters. So on one level, I kind of feel for politicians at that moment. You know, I was just a human being.
I guess the interesting thing to me is this, what you call the swagger, is very closely aligned with what many feel is a sense of entitlement that when you are elected to office by the public and you've been there for a while, that's somehow your place. Like, it belongs to you, and it's not the public that takes it away from you. It is some nemesis that is the opponent that is taking away from you, and it's mine.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The tendency is to blame the machine in Chicago. It's funny because I remember when Forrest Claypool, who is now the head of the Chicago Public Schools, lost a Democratic primary to John Stroger in a primary for Cook County Board President. And Stroger at the time was in the hospital in a coma. And the voters still voted for him over Forrest Claypool.
Voters have been known to elect dead people.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened in Chicago, but it's
elsewhere.
Elsewhere. And I remember Claypool's people telling me that the machine stole it from them. And I thought that was kind of funny because Claypool was himself a two-time chief of staff for Mayor Richard Daley. So if there's any machine in Chicago, it would be the one controlled by Daley. So it's like, what are you telling me? You know, your guy is the machine. Guy's just a different end of the machine, you know? So, you know, people blame it on the machine. There's people I know at this moment who were very close to the Ken Duncan campaign, which is another state rep campaign on the South Side. And they believe that that election was stolen from them. And they lost decisively. So it's tough to lose an election. And so you come up with all sorts of explanations and scapegoats.
And arguably, in the final analysis, the public decides.
Unless you believe that the whole thing is rigged.
What?
Yeah. If you believe that it's a legit system, then our fate is in the hands of voters like the woman on the Southwest Side who wanted to vote for Donald Trump and was outraged to learn that she couldn't also vote for Anita Alvarez or whoever else she wanted to vote for.
Someday. That's all we have time for. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir.
Listeners, our Twitter handle is CHIGOBT, but you know what? You can find us on all your social media and on your web by searching for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Gloetz. Thanks for listening.